our sermon series today in the book of Joshua. You might like to turn to today's passage, which is Joshua chapter 14 from verse 6. You'll find it on page 230 in the Bibles. Maybe keep a finger in it or a bookmark or something. We'll come back to this after our second reading. As you may know, the book of Joshua tells about the conquest of the Promised Land after the Exodus. And at this point, the Promised Land has mainly been conquered. We're in the part of the book which tells about the division of the land amongst the Israelites and the various tribes and so on. Joshua is the leader of the people. And in today's passage, we meet Caleb. And it's helpful for us if we can remember something of their backstory. You might know that after the Exodus, Moses sent 12 spies into the Promised Land to go and check it out. And Joshua and Caleb were the two faithful spies. The other spies came back with a report about the inhabitants of the land, that they were all giants and they couldn't possibly face them and it was all hopeless, and the people despaired, and the conquest of the land was delayed by a whole generation that came under the judgment of God in the wilderness. And God promised that it would be Joshua and Caleb alone of that whole generation who would enter the land. So Caleb comes here to speak to Joshua. Steve is going to read for us from Joshua chapter 14, verse 6.
Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers, who went up with me, made the hearts of the people sink. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Amalekites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. This is the word of the Lord.
Tony's going to read to us a passage from the New Testament. I chose this partly for the sake of the exhortation which Paul gives Timothy here, but also because Paul seems to be looking towards the end of his life.
Paul's charge to Timothy on page 1197. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. And the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Tony. You might like to turn back to our first reading, Joshua 14, verse 6, page 230. Perhaps we could sum up this passage with two headings. First, Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And second, the Lord kept his promises to Caleb. Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. The Lord kept his promises to Caleb. So let's think about those two headings. Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. I don't know if you ever wonder what they might say about you at your funeral. I suppose I'm confronted with funerals more often than the average person, so it does sometimes occur to me. I sometimes think, how will I deal with that terrible conversation where perhaps some vicar I've never met before says to me, "So, tell me about your mum." What might they say about you? What would you like them to say? And what would they say about Caleb? I think Caleb has got a pretty good idea of what he'd like it to be. You can see it there in verse 8, the end of verse 8. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. And just in case we don't get the point, the passage actually tells us twice more. Just look at the end of verse 9. God says to Caleb, because you followed the Lord your God wholeheartedly. And then again in verse 14, again at the end of the verse, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And they do a bit of biography at the funeral often. And we have a bit of that in verse 6. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Interesting if we've had our wits about us, because the Kenizzites are mentioned in Genesis 15, verse 19, as one of the peoples who are living in the land, the promised land, before it's conquered. So assuming that these are the same guys, it's possible that Caleb is of Gentile descent. We've seen this kind of thing before in the Bible. It seems that when the people came out of slavery in Egypt, they were a mixed multitude. There were some of the Egyptians who came with them and threw in their lot with the people of God. And most prominently, perhaps you'll remember Rahab in this book of Joshua, the Gentile prostitute who pins her hopes on Israel and their God. Kind of similarly, there's the Gibeonites who managed to make a treaty with the people of God by trickery to avoid conquest. They're not quite so good as Rahab, but nevertheless, they managed to get some benefits from that relationship. We could think of other Gentiles in the Old Testament who come to faith in the God of Israel, it seems. Faithfulness can sometimes be found in surprising places. And correspondingly, unfaithfulness can also be found in places where we might hope for faithfulness. We could think of Achan and his sin in this book. Unfaithful Israelites, there are many in the Bible, aren't there? Unfaithfulness can sometimes be found within the people of God, the church. Caleb then is an example, perhaps a surprising example, of wholeheartedness. Many of us perhaps can manage some degree of outward obedience to the Lord some of the time. It's a pretty horrible morning today, wasn't it? You could hardly tell that dawn had taken place, pouring down with rain, and nevertheless, you have made it to church. Well done! But I guess if we think about wholeheartedness, few of us would say, yeah, I think I could give myself a 98% for wholeheartedness. Perhaps today's reading is an encouragement to pray for more wholeheartedness, for real integrity of life, for singleness of mind to love God and to seek first his kingdom. Not only sort of partial outward obedience, but obedience which comes from our heart. In Bible terms, the heart is probably the control center of the personality. It might be something more like we would often think of the mind, or maybe even the brain, but it's not just a sort of cerebral, intellectual thing, and neither is it kind of just your emotions, which we might think about the heart. It includes our desires, our will, really our whole self. Are we wholehearted for God? We've already read Jesus' words, haven't we, as he summarized the first duty of human beings. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. All our powers, all our stuff, our resources, our potential for doing things, our will, our actions, our time, our money, our energies, our passions. Are they all pointing in the same direction? Do we live a life of integrity and single-mindedness and wholeheartedness? Probably we feel we often fall short. I wanted to read you some words from Paul's other letter to Timothy, which hopefully you'll find encouraging. Paul says to him this: be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. It's a call to continuing wholeheartedness, isn't it? But what's the standard? Perhaps this is encouraging. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your perfection. Well, it's not that, is it? Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone could see your progress. I guess this side of heaven, we will always fall short of perfect wholeheartedness for Jesus. But perhaps we might at least pray for progress. Lord, help me to make progress in wholeheartedness, to go in the right direction. Caleb continues to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. If we could say that Caleb's commitment was deep, it included his heart and mind and will and the whole of him, it went deep in him, we could also say it had length. It went through all his life long. Verse 10. Now, just as the Lord God promised me, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time when he said this to Moses while the Israelites were going around in the desert when we spied out the land. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle as I was then. What did you think? I don't know. Time spans were sometimes a bit different in the Old Testament, weren't they? You know, some of the servants of God only really got going at the age of 80, so some of us might have great futures ahead of us. I mean, certainly Caleb would be unusual if he was doing this. You get some older people who are still running marathons, don't you? But they're not often fighting in the front line or playing professional rugby or whatever. Maybe it was a special miracle. But perhaps it's something of Caleb's attitude. He still likes to be going out with, he's sort of still, let me at them. Like those tiny hobbits in the Lord of the Rings film. You know, sometimes they're keen to take on the orcs, aren't they? Although they're only tiny. Maybe Caleb was like that, even from his Zimmer frame. Oh, I'm still vigorous. Of course we can still defeat them if God's on our side. Maybe. I think you thought a bit last week about serving God in older age, didn't you? So I refer you back to that sermon. But most of us will have to deal with growing physical and mental limitations. We probably feel that we can't necessarily do all that we could do in our youth. Or when we were 25 or whatever, whether we're 45 or 85. And yet, how is our heart, our attitude? Maybe we can still pray. Maybe there's someone we could still look out for to encourage. This was an ongoing, enduring wholeheartedness. Not just limited outward obedience, and not just temporary either. I don't know if you've ever heard a particularly inspiring sermon. You've gone home and set your alarm clock for an hour earlier that you might do more Bible reading and prayer tomorrow. How many days did it last? I wonder. Well, Caleb had kept going, not just for a sprint, but for a marathon. The Bible sometimes speaks of the Christian life as a walk. I guess there might be some periods of special, intensive effort, but the Christian life is really a long obedience in the same direction. The Bible does speak of running. It speaks of running with perseverance, keeping going for the long haul. Wholeheartedness. What might it mean for you and your family and for our church to follow the Lord wholeheartedly? One thing it meant for Caleb was courage and confidence in God when others were fearful and defeatist. Oh, we can't possibly take them on. They're too big for us. It's hopeless. The odds are against us. We ought to give up and turn back. It meant being willing to be part of a minority report. 2 out of 12 spies were faithful. 2 against 10. And yet Caleb was resolved, verse 7, to give a report according to his convictions. It wasn't easy or popular, perhaps. And that's how it might be for us living as Bible-believing Christians in Britain today, perhaps even in the church. We might sometimes find ourselves in a minority, going against the flow. At the very least, perhaps we need to be willing to be thought rather weird. Some of us maybe are more weird than we need to be. We could do this in a grumpy, censorious, sort of rather unattractive way, couldn't we? But we ought to pray for grace to live with joy in a way that's radiant rather than simply embattled or embittered. But life is not a popularity contest. We want to live according to the word of God. We're not about to hold a referendum or an opinion poll about what we should believe or do. Much that the Bible says and teaches about morality is going to be unpopular today. It's not necessarily attractive to people to say that there is a holy God who will judge the world. People might not like these things. But Caleb resolved to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. We must pray for wholehearted obedience to Jesus. Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Secondly, and probably more briefly, the Lord kept his promises to Caleb. The Lord kept his promises to Caleb. And we can see that perhaps particularly in verse 40, and if we think about the location of the promised land that Caleb received. Not only was it the territory of the Anakites, it seems like the sort of biggest and most scary enemies, but Hebron was also the place where Abraham had camped. So a reminder to us, perhaps, of the promises given to Abraham, of the promised land which we're seeing fulfilled here. Sometimes God's promises aren't fulfilled quickly and easily. Caleb had to wait 45 years for this promise to come true. No doubt there'd be many ups and downs along the way. Sometimes perhaps it felt like an existential crisis. It seemed impossible. Maybe he wondered if God's promises would ever be fulfilled. And yet they were. This section of Joshua, which tells about the division of the land amongst all the different tribes, it begins with Caleb, and it ends with Joshua in chapter 19, showing us perhaps that God is keeping his promises, that Joshua and Caleb are examples to the people of wholeheartedness, of faithfulness. They show us what we should be like. And verse 15, the land had rest from war. Not completely and forever, but at least in part. The land had a kind of rest, a Sabbath, peace. And the Bible tells us there remains for us, for the people of God, a Sabbath day rest. It's possible to know many of the blessings of following Jesus now, even in the midst of trial. Peace, hope, forgiveness, joy, meaning, purpose. But for the Christian, the best is yet to come. One day God will keep his promises in all their fullness. We will know eternal peace and rest, not in our little portion of Israel, but in the promised land of heaven and the new creation. God calls us to wholeheartedness, and he keeps his promises. May God give us grace to follow him more faithfully for Jesus' sake. Amen.